If you would, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. My message today is actually a textual message, and some would say it's topical. There will be a great number of verses we'll be looking into, but it's textual because this text that we'll be reading, we'll be making reference toward at the beginning, but so it's textual slash topical. Anyway, that's the type of message that we'll have today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, would like to read verse 1 through verse 9. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. And so those of us who are saved, we know that one of these days we'll put off this body and we'll have a heavenly body. And that's what he's talking about in the text, verse 5. Now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who hath also given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And so I know when I leave this life, I'll be in the presence of Jesus Christ. And here's the text that I want to concern ourselves with. Verse 9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Tomorrow is Labor Day. And according to the internet, quote, Labor Day, the first Monday in September, is a creation of the labor movement and is dedicated to the social and economic achievements of American workers. It constitutes a yearly national tribute to the contribution of workers, that they have made to the strength and prosperity and well-being of our country, end of quote. Well, to my knowledge, in 30-plus years of ministry, I've never given a message pertaining this holiday, and I've never heard one preached on it. So today will be a first. It is my objective to discuss our labors, giving instruction and honor to those who labor. And of course, my main emphasis will be upon our spiritual labor. So I want to speak to you today a message that God laid upon my heart, and the title of the message is Labor Day. I think that's pretty simple. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day and the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for these that are here. We do ask if there's any in our midst that are lost, that you would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus and grant repentance and faith that they might be saved even this day. And Lord, for those of us who are saved, we come together in your name to honor you and to worship you, and we pray that you would hear our songs of praise and hear our prayers and answer according to your will. And Lord, bless your word as it goes out today. Just speak to our hearts by your Spirit. Help us as your people to labor for you and to be faithful in those labors. Forgive us for our sin. Draw us unto you. May everything that's said and done be for your honor and for your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Labor Day. Well, we want to think a moment about this text here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, Paul says, wherefore we labor, that whether absent or present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Wherefore we labor. The word labor in this verse here actually means, the word in the original language means the ambitious, being ambitious of honor. And so it is the idea to exert oneself to accomplish a thing. It is to endeavor earnestly. Now, I would judge that that's the kind of worker you are in the secular workplace, that you have a desire for an ambition for honor. In other words, it's an idea of I'm going to accomplish this thing, I'm going to be a good worker, and I want to have this accomplishment in my life. And so you endeavor earnestly as you go to work day by day, right? Yeah, you all do, don't you? Well, anyway, that's the word in the text here. And the reason I make this distinction is because of the many verses that we're going to see. The majority of the times that word, that labor, is found there, it's a different Greek word. And that word means, and this is probably more along the line of what you think of labor is, rather than all the, I'm going to work my best for this company, is this is the word, it means trouble, a vexation. And so it is a labor or a travail. It is to work hard, it is to toil. Now I recognize that some people in our society don't understand that concept of work and labor. But that's what the word means. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8 is where that word is used. Another verse that we'll be looking at later, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, a derivative of this word means to be wearied or spent with labor, to faint from weariness. I mean, did you just work so hard and you're so tired and you say, "Whoo, I'm just worn out," right? And then you can't wait to get home and get cleaned up and hit the bed, right? Because you're so tired. That's the word labor. And when we look at all these verses, that's the general word that's used there. But the one in our text deals with the idea to endeavor earnestly. But it carries the same idea, doesn't it? If you're going to endeavor earnestly, if you're going to be ambitious to accomplish a thing, then you're going to work hard, aren't you? And so I submit unto you that in the work of the Lord, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're a servant of the Lord, you're in the Lord's army, and well, you know what, in the Lord's work, we need to exert ourselves to endeavor earnestly. We ought to desire to serve the Lord. We should labor. And that means, you know what, we're going to get tired. Yes, in the work of the Lord, do spiritual activities get us tired? Yes, they do. Now notice in the text here it says, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." And so we know that there is a labor here, and we should desire to be accepted of the Lord in the type of labor which we produce. That word accepted, well, means exactly that. It means to be acceptable or well-pleasing. When you go to work, do you desire to please your employer? Do you, your supervisors over you? Do you want to be a good employee? Well, as a child of God, I want to be a good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to honor my God by the way that I serve Him. I want to be well-pleasing. And so Paul says in the text, we labor that we may be accepted of Him. Now, Paul also, and we did not read this verse, but we're going to look at it right now, and it's in verse 10. He offers a reasoning for this. Verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone that may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad." What does Paul say? Paul says, "I'm going to labor, and I want to labor so I may be accepted or well-pleasing to Him, because I'm going to give an account to Him." You know, dear Christian friend, that you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It's called the Bema Seat. That's different than the Great White Throne Judgment, by the way. And this Bema Seat is all believers will give an account to the Lord of the things done in the body, whether it be good or bad. As a servant of the Lord, what would you desire to do as you stand before the Bema Seat? Would you rather hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," or be considered a slothful servant? So we do have a spiritual labor, do we not? And Paul says we labor that we might be accepted, because we're going to give an account. Wherefore we labor, those first three words of verse 9. So that introduces then this, the remainder of it is a topical message concerning Labor Day. The first thing I would like to offer unto you, and we do have a outline in the bulletin. It's on the back side of the prayer list. If you want to follow along, you're certainly welcome to do so. All the verses are listed there, and you can take that home and look at them later if you can't follow along quick enough, because there are so many verses, I'm going to go like a house on fire. So what we want to recognize is, number one, there is labor. Now, I know that there are some people in our society that don't recognize that concept, but the very vast majority of us recognize there is labor. And I want you to know that as a child of God, there is a labor for you. God did not save you just so you could sit back and just kick back and take it easy. God saved you so that you might serve Him. Now, there are two aspects of which I want to deal with this. And when I say there's a labor, I believe that there is a work to do and there's a work to be done. And so it's incumbent upon me to recognize that this is true. So I want, as a servant of the Lord, then to know what that labor is so that I can do it. What does he want for me to do? And that's what you should be asking yourself, dear Christian friend. What does God want me to do? Two things here. There is a labor. Number one, the existence of labor. Just a few verses. Let me read them to you. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 25. I'm just demonstrating that labor exists. Paul writes and he says, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants." There is a labor. Paul was involved with labor. Epaphroditus was involved in labor. And of course, all believers are involved in labor. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, Paul continues to write and he says, "I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other of my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, written to the church, he says, "I know thy works and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." I submit unto you that there is labor. And so if you're saying in your heart and your mind, "Well, there really isn't, and I'm just going to coast through life," you need to back up, you need to get a new paradigm, and you need to recognize that there is a labor. And there's a labor in the world, and there's labor in the spiritual realm. And of course, that is our emphasis. The first thing was the existence of labor. I want to offer you some examples that we find in the scripture of labor. Listen carefully. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers." That's the emphasis. How was Epaphras in this instance, as Paul's making reference toward? How is he serving Christ? He is laboring for Christ and praying for the Colossian people. So he says, "Always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." Do you think that that might be one thing you might be able to do, dear Christian friend, is to labor in prayer? Oh, I would recommend you to do that. Any of us can do that. And even if you have great physical difficulty and inabilities, you can pray. We can labor in prayer. That's one example. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of" what? "Labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." Hebrews 6:10 makes reference to the labor of love. You know that you can labor in love? That's a service. That's a work that you can do. Loving other people. Loving the way you ought to love. That is a labor of love. As you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you do so because you love Him. And so there is a work, and one example is a labor of prayer, but also a labor of love and patience of hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. And he says, "I sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." Is there a labor in the gospel? Is it a ministry? Is it a service to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others? It absolutely is. And so recognize, hey, Paul said you're a fellow laborer. He was a fellow laborer in the gospel. May we be fellow laborers in the gospel. If God has saved you, we want to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Let us labor in the gospel. Now, you may not be able to labor in the gospel in the manner of which I labor in the gospel, but we who name the name of Jesus Christ ought to all desire to labor in the gospel. That's part of our work. It's part of our service. Another example, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." And so here, making reference to the preachers of the churches there, they labor in the word and doctrine. I trust that you recognize, and I know I don't see myself as a great orator. I don't compare myself with the great speakers of our society. But I'll tell you what, for me to give this message to you, I'm just not opening up the Bible and letting it fall open and saying, "Oh, that's what I'm going to talk about today." I don't do it that way. I can't do it that way. I have to labor in the Word. I have to look into the Word and see what God has told us so I can share it with you. And I would properly exegete the Scriptures so that you would know what God is saying. And it's not what I'm saying, but what God says. Paul said that those that are elders, they labor in the word and doctrine. And if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're going to be a good Sunday school teacher, you need to labor in the word. If you want, I'll tell you, if you want to be a good Christian in your walk day by day, you're going to have to labor in the word. Love the word of God. Get into the book. It will make a difference in your life. But it's a labor, isn't it? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 16 says, "The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. The fruit of the wicked is to sin." We who name the name of Jesus Christ, we who are righteous, our service ought to lend toward life. That people would know about Jesus Christ, they would recognize their need for Him, they would repent and believe because of our life and because of our testimony to the Lord. The righteous tendeth to life. Part of the labor, isn't it? Labor of the righteous, it says. So those are just a few examples of labor. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6, a little bit to your right from where we began. Ephesians chapter 6. And there are four things I want to mention before we enter into the next point. The first thing is there are two types of labor. I think we all understand this. There are two types of labor. They're secular and spiritual. They're called by different terms, but that's the term. Those are the terminologies that I'm going to use today. Secular and spiritual. And if you go to work day after day after day, and maybe you're retired, but you work day after day after day, what you recognize is that's a secular work, isn't it? But as a Christian, you ought to have a spiritual work. And as a Christian, you have a labor that God would have you to do. Now, in the book of Ephesians, where I've asked you to turn in verse chapter 6, and there's instruction the Apostle Paul gives to those who are in secular labor. It actually deals with the matter of the slave-master relationship. But if you'll go through and take time to read through Ephesians chapter 6, you'll find that there's a greater emphasis upon the spiritual aspect. I'm going to look at verse 7. When he speaks to servants or slaves, he tells them that they need with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Any Christian who was a slave at that time, he says, you need to serve your master because of God in heaven, not because this guy's your master. You see, even though he had a secular work to do, the spiritual superseded the secular. Does that make sense to you? So he tells these slaves, you serve and you do well. You do service as to the Lord. And I mentioned this just last Wednesday night as we went through this passage, but you recognize as an employee, you're better off if you'll understand that your service to your company, if you'll do it as unto God more than you do as unto the employer, you'll be a better employee and you'll enjoy your work much better. Just do your secular work as unto God and incorporate the spiritual into the secular. In verse 9, he addresses the masters, those slave owners, and he says, and ye masters, do the same things unto them. Forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there a respect of persons with him. In other words, you masters that are slave owners, or you masters that are Christians who happen to be slave owners, you treat them properly as you realize you have a master in heaven. Don't abuse them. Don't threaten them. Treat them properly. And of course, that lends itself toward the business owner in our society. Take care of your employees. Treat them properly. Recognize that it's more than secular as a Christian, it's spiritual, isn't it? And I would encourage every Christian here to know that in their life, day after day after day, wherever you go, and you tomorrow's a holiday, so you're not going to go to work tomorrow probably. Some people will be, but you're not going to go to work. You go Tuesday, realize as a Christian that I want to live my life as honoring unto Christ. I need to let the spiritual supersede my secular. You see what I'm saying? You'll be a better employee if you do, and you'll enjoy your work much better. But as we think about this labor, and I said I was going to go a house on fire, and here I'm starting other fires. So anyway, if I chase a few rabbits, I apologize. But anyway, here's another thing. Labor varies among individuals, doesn't it? Do you have the same labor as I do? Do you have the same labor as somebody next to you? It all varies, doesn't it? You might even have the same job in the same factory, and your labor is going to vary a little bit different than the person next to you. Labor varies among individuals. And so it's just not a cookie cutter thing, is it? So that leads me to the next point, and that is labor normally varies from day to day. or week to week, and so forth. You ever had to go overtime? At labor, boy, that gets a little bit tough there. Now you're working 10, and you're working 7 days a week instead of a straight 40. That makes it hard, doesn't it? It varies, but you don't do that from now on, chances are. So you'll go back to 40, and you look forward to going back to 40. But labor varies, doesn't it? Aren't these things true when you apply it to Christian service? Aren't we different in Christian labor? Aren't sometimes more difficult than others? They are. And I'll tell you, for a small church, we have enough people in the hospital from time to time, and they always seem to come in groups. They really do. They come in batches. And when that happens, talk about labor. That is more labor to me because of here and here and here and here. That's part of it, though. But it's not always like that, is it? Your spiritual labor is going to vary from day to day, from week to week, and it's going to vary between individuals. But I will remind you, and the Word bears this out, that labor is wearisome to the flesh. Do preachers get tired? Oh, yes, we do. Do you get tired as a layperson? Yes, you do. In the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll get tired in the flesh and in the spirit. Well, the first point is there is a labor. Second point, labor needs to be accepted. Go back, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and there are a number of things I'm going to ask you to turn to, just one right after another. Labor needs to be accepted. Point number one, because it is a responsibility. I ought to accept my labor because, hey, it's my responsibility to do so. Number one, under this, labor is personal and demands active involvement. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 12, Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says, "And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it." Paul said, we work with our own hands. If we're going to work, we have to be involved in it, don't we? It's personal, isn't it? If you're going to labor in the gospel, you're going to have to be active. And so labor is personal, and it's going to demand an active involvement. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, a few pages to the right. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 16. Labor is a cooperation with others, often to fulfill a task. We don't normally maverick it, you know. We don't normally go it alone. 1 Corinthians 16:16, he says, "That you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth." I spend some time over at Onyx Medical over there on Shelby Oaks Drive, and they have 100-plus employees. I'm not the only one there. I'm not a sole business owner. I'm not a sole business person. I work with a number of people. You guys work with numbers of people, don't you? You have fellow employees. If we're going to labor, we have to accept that responsibility, and we have to be able to cooperate one with another so that we can fulfill a task. And that's true in the church. The work of this church is just not my sole responsibility. I'm not the sole worker here. All of us as members of this church need to work in cooperation. There's a labor to perform, and we have to work together to accomplish that labor. Does that make sense? Go, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1, again to the right. Colossians chapter 1. Third item under this matter of having a responsibility is labor is a willing duty while depending on the Lord. Will you volunteer? Yes, I will do that, God. I will be glad to serve you. But you have to recognize that duty is all going to be able to be accomplished through the power of God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. He says, "Wherefore, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Here's the Apostle Paul, and we often talk about the Apostle Paul and say, well, he's the greatest missionary that ever lived and so forth. I don't know if we should use superlatives like that because I don't know how we could ever judge that. But Paul did have a great work for the Lord, and what did he say? He says, I labor and I strive, but how do I do it? It's his working through me. And I submit unto you, dear Christian friend, if you're going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and work for him and labor for him, then willingly do so, but know that that power has to come from him. He has to work through you. Revelation chapter 2, if you desire to turn over there. Revelation chapter 2. We noticed a verse a moment ago to the church at Ephesus. Here we look into verse 3. And labor is difficult and requires perseverance. Not very many jobs are really cushy, you know. Most jobs require some commitment and perseverance. Revelation chapter 2, verse 3, writing to the church, he says, "And you have borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." Remember, the word labor includes the idea of fainting, being weary, tired. And he says, if you worked and you labored, and you know what? You've not fainted. You haven't quit. You haven't quit. And dear Christian friend, I want to encourage you in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ that the labor is going to be difficult. It's going to take some perseverance, though. You're going to have some commitment to say, you know what, I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep reading. I'm going to keep witnessing. I'm going to keep coming to church. I'm going to keep serving the Lord. I'm going to keep telling people about Jesus. Don't give up. It takes some commitment. Labor is labor, but it takes some perseverance. Number five, an individual is responsible for his own labors and not another's. Let me read to you part of 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. It says in verse 15, Paul says, "Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors." As Paul made reference to his own ministry, he did not boast about other men's things. He's just dealing with his own. And the truth is, in my workplace, I'm not accountable for other people. I'm accountable for me. In your workplace, you're accountable for you, aren't you? Right? And so I'm responsible for the labor that my boss gives me. And you're responsible for what the boss gives you. And the Lord Jesus Christ is your master. And you're responsible for the labor that he's given you, not what he's given me. You see, he's placed me in the ministry. You're not obligated to fulfill my duties. You fulfill your own. Does that make sense to you? Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. He says, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God." You see, sometimes we'll judge things according to flesh and we'll say, oh, that's a great Christian and they're really not so great as we think. And that's a terrible Christian, but they're not as bad as we think that they are. And Paul says, you better not judge the time. We can't make those judgments. Every man will give an account. We already read that. We noticed it earlier. And he says, then shall every man have praise of God. I am accountable for what God has put on my plate. I, as a laborer of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's my accountability. You have your accountability. We have a labor, don't we? And this labor needs to be accepted. It is an obligation. Acts chapter 20, if you'd like to turn there. Acts chapter 20. And then you'll be able to rest. Acts chapter 20. Labor is an obligation which most often affects others. Very rarely do the labors that you work in a secular society just deal with you and that's it. It affects other people. You say, but I'm a sole business owner. I make things. I make widgets. And yeah, but you making widgets affects other people because people buy your widgets. Right? So labor often affects others. And it is so true in the ministry. And in the labor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Paul says, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak." There's the example. You can work and labor, you can help support the weak. "And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive." Our labor can help other people, and it does. In all of our spiritual labors, you are making a difference, and you may not be able to see all that, but I encourage you, be faithful in the service that God would have you to serve. Be a good laborer. Tomorrow's Labor Day. Well, recognize that you are a laborer for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so labor needs to be accepted because it is a responsibility. Secondly, we need to accept the responsibility and the commitment. Just because it's a responsibility doesn't mean that people accept it. And so I submit unto you, if you recognize there is a responsibility, I need to accept that responsibility now. The text said when we began in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, verse 9, it says, "Wherefore we labor." Wherefore we labor. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Paul writes and says, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe." Wherefore? Therefore we labor. You see, there is a responsibility. We accept that responsibility. The job is there. Will you accept it? There's labor to perform. Will you be willing to do so? Remember in Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and God said, "Who will go for us? Who shall I send?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." There is a responsibility. There's a labor to perform. Will you accept that labor? Will you accept that commitment? And recognize then, number three, that we need to see that there is a labor that needs to be performed, and we want to do it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." There is a labor. You're not the only one working. You're not the only one serving. So don't get despondent about that. It would be wrong for me to say, well, I'm the only one doing anything. That's a mistake. Realize that other people are laboring. And that's what Paul says in the text. Know them which labor among you. And he talked about fellow laborers and co-laborers. Someone is fulfilling the task, and aren't you glad? Well, then point number four of our message. Labor needs to be accepted, but then there is a reward for labor. I said you could rest. Let me read to you some of these verses. Is there a reward for your labor when you go into work? Every paycheck. That's a reward for your labor, isn't it? That bonus check at Christmas time if you get one, right? There's a reward for your labor. I know that you feel good about going in, but you go in because of the paycheck. You like getting paid. And I'll submit unto you there's a reward for your labor. As a Christian, you say, well, what am I getting out of this? Well, that's not the attitude to have, but we have it anyway. There's a reward for your labor. Just know what the Bible has to say. First of all, the laborer deserves his payment. He does. Luke chapter 10, verse 7 says, "And in the same house remain," and he's talking about the disciples being sent out, and as they minister, he says, "And when you go into that house, remain eating and drinking such thing as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house." The laborer is worthy of his hire. Is a person supposed to be paid for the work that they do? Yeah, he sure is. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18 says, "The scripture saith, thus shalt thou not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn." Here's the spiritual principle behind that, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. You go to work every day, you deserve that paycheck because you work for it, don't you? As you say, labor for the Lord Jesus Christ, is that without pay? Or does the Lord say that there's a reward for the laborer? Will God reward you for your service to Him? Yes, He will, because He said that He would. The laborer deserves his payment. Number two, in God's service, labor yields fruit. 1 Corinthians 15, 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be not weary in well doing, the scripture says, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not." Don't give up. Keep reading, keep studying, keep praying, keep serving, keep following the Lord. Keep witnessing. You do what God would have you to do. God will allow you to participate in the fruits. A connected reference, Philippians chapter 1, verse 22 says, "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not." And Paul says, I'd rather die and be with Christ, but if I'm in this flesh, that's the fruit of my labor. I can still continue to minister. Number three, the laborer participates in the harvest. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6 says, "The husbandman that laboreth must first be partakers of the fruits." God will bless us to where we can see the fruit of those harvests. Number four, the reward is commensurate to the laborer. 1 Corinthians 3:8 says, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." Some people work entry jobs and they get paid minimum wage. Other people work skilled jobs and they get paid skilled wages. Other people have greater backgrounds and so forth, degrees or whatever, and they have white-collar jobs. They get paid for those white-collar jobs. You know what it is? Every man will receive a reward according to his own labor. And a person that has an entry-level job should not be getting paid what a guy that has a doctorate degree has. It just is not, that's not the same labor, is it? Now, if he's doing the same work, then that's okay. But you understand, as a Christian, the reward will be commensurate to our labor. So let us just be found faithful in the labor which God has given to us. The last thing is this: the laborer should invest in the spiritual because he will leave everything behind. You're going to work every day and you're making a wage and you have a house and you have a car and you have, well, you might have a boat and a vacation home and jets and all that kind of, how many got a jet? Okay, nobody has a jet, but you have all these things. I want you to know that you need to invest in the spiritual because you want to leave every bit of that behind. You will not take any of it with you. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 15 says, "And he came forth from his mother womb as he came forth from his mother's womb, naked shall he return as he to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. You can cash the check and you can have all kinds of possessions, but I guarantee you when you leave this life, you're leaving every bit of it behind. You won't take any of it with you. So don't invest all of your labor in the secular, because you're going to leave all that behind. You need to invest in the spiritual. So Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 20 reminds us this: lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moss nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Lay up treasure in heaven. Are you laboring up treasure in heaven? There's a reward for the labor. The last point of my message is this: we ought to be laborers. Again, you can relax. I'll read these verses to you. We ought to be laborers and labor together. 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, you are God's building. He's talking to the church. We laborers together. Philippians 1:1, Paul, prisoner of Jesus Christ. This is Philemon 1:1. Paul, prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, and Philemon, our dearly beloved, and fellow laborer. Philemon 1:24, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. And so we need to labor together, and we need God's grace to labor. We touched on that a little bit earlier, but 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Who deserves the honor and the glory for your spiritual labor? God does. You say, I've done so much in my life. Yeah, and he deserves the glory for that. He's the one, it was through his grace that that could be accomplished. And then to labor is God's plan and purpose. Whether you like that or not, it is true. You have a spiritual labor and you have a secular labor, and it's God's purpose. Here's what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, and then I'll draw a brief conclusion. Ecclesiastes 3:13. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. You being able to go out and work and provide a living and be able to eat and air condition and comfort a car, that's a gift of God. You realize that? You on retirement, you worked all those years so that you'd have a retirement. That's a gift of God. God has blessed you. Ecclesiastes 5:18, behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all of his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Ecclesiastes 5:19, every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. By the way, you notice it says has power to eat thereof. Not all people have the power to eat thereof. Ecclesiastes 8:15, then I commanded mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry, for that shall abide with him for all of his labor, for of his labor all the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. It's God's plan and purpose that we labor. And we'll do so in the secular realm, and we'll do so in the spiritual realm. In conclusion, number one, every Christian has a labor. If you are a child of God, you have a spiritual labor. Number two, I encourage you to know what that labor is and be a good and faithful laborer. Find it out. God, what do you want me to do? How am I to serve you? And then be a good, faithful servant of Jesus Christ. Number three, I want to thank you for your labors. Yeah, that's the point of Labor Day. Thanking the American worker for all their achievements and contributions to society. Well, I thank you as the pastor of this church for all your labors for the Lord Jesus Christ and in conjunction with the church. Thank you. I thank you. You don't work for me, you work for Christ, but I thank you. Thank you for all your help. This Labor Day, I give tribute to the contributions each worker has made toward the strength, prosperity, and well-being of Christ's kingdom. I say unto you that are here that are lost, I know the message wasn't directed toward you, but I want you to know that you must first enter his kingdom. You need to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But once you enter his kingdom, you become a laborer of his. And so then you want to be found faithful as a laborer. Well, Labor Day, as you rest tomorrow, Don't just think about all the break from work and all the things that you do. Boy, that's, well, this is a break for that. Think about the spiritual aspect for a moment, will you? And reflect and say, there is a work to do and a work to be done. And, well, Labor Day. That's what it talks about. And so we want to take the secular, apply it to the spiritual, and I hope it makes a difference for you that you'll be a better servant of Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Father, we commit this time to you today. We love you. We thank you. And we ask that you would just work this message into every heart by your Spirit. And may those of us who are saved be found true and faithful in our service to you. But we do lift up those that are lost. God, help them and reveal to them their need of Jesus. And we pray that you'd save them today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Song is number 330. 330.